Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Let's talk immigration, Congresswoman Elizabeth Esty, a Democratic in Connecticut's 5th District. You're new to this, and here comes the immigration debate. Did you consider any of this when you were in the state legislature, or is this all a new territory for you?
We had some discussion in the state legislature looking at, for example, a DREAM Act within the state when I was there, one that was passed. I had voted for but did not pass when I was in the legislature, but has now passed. So we've looked at it around issues for students, of whom there are many, many in the state of Connecticut. We, as you probably know, higher education is one of our largest industries, as it were. But I'm very excited, I have to say, and encouraged about the possibility that in this Congress we could get some very meaningful, important reforms in immigration. I think it is incredibly important to our nation, and I'm strongly in favor of a comprehensive approach that really helps bring the 10 million plus undocumented folks living in this country out of the shadows into a legalized status where they pay their taxes, get in line, and their children can fully participate in this country, because I am hearing from families and from children. I've had some immigration reform forums and have met with groups around the district, and it is of great concern.
So you have a Republican majority, of course, in the House. In the past, one would have suspected they would have been lined up against it, but they had a little lesson, didn't they, during the election, and things seem to be changing. Could you give us a report on that?
Well, I think that the changing demographics of the country are being manifested in at least the national political direction. I have no doubt that the folks who are, a number of them here in Washington, who are thinking about the direction of the National Republican Party are deeply concerned about their ability to ever win the presidency if they are seen as being against Hispanics, who make up the largest growing portion of our population. That's just not a tenable position to be in. And I think that imperative, and seeing what happened around this last election, is certainly driving the national Republican thinking, and certainly individual districts too. You know, every member of Congress has got between 500 and 750, 800,000 constituents, and you're seeing that all over the country.
There's an awful lot of gerrymandering that has gone into making some of these congressional districts, which I suspect, you probably know better than I, is detrimental to minority rights. In other words, just the way you construct the districts. Do you think that makes a difference?
It's the research on this suggests that it does, that the gerrymandering has in fact made a difference and has tended to have carve-outs with that use minority populations in ways to ensure certain kinds of electoral results. And right now, the Supreme Court, actually, we're waiting on a decision from the Supreme Court precisely on that point. So these are important issues. It continues to be part of the growing edge of how we become truly a more democratic country. So how we ensure that voting districts are fair, how we ensure that every vote has equal weight, is tremendously important.
You recently had a roundtable in Waterbury, I understand, mm-hmm. on this immigration question. What did you find out there?
What I found out from the roundtable, which was in part a follow-up to meetings I'd had with different groups and concerned folks in the district, both undocumented folks who live in Connecticut, as well as activists and people in the business community, political activists as well, that there is a lot of sentiment in favor of common sense reform. This is just something that needs to happen because we're a nation of immigrants. This is who we are as a country. And so to go year after year after year with over 10 million undocumented folks in this country just isn't in line with what we believe in. And frankly, there's an enormous amount to be gained from the energy and innovation that immigrants bring to our country. So again, our commitment to that, my commitment to making sure that we're a strong country, tells me this is what we both must do, but what is also smart for us to do, frankly.
let me shift because we're running out of time, but I wanted to ask you, we interviewed Chris Murphy many, many times here on WAMC, and we really loved him. He's a senator, and you're in the district. But does the fact that he came from your district help you in terms of your relationship with the Senate?
Well, it helps me that the Connecticut delegation is quite friendly with each other. These are all folks I've known, some for several decades. And Chris is a good friend. He lives two blocks away from me. We work closely together and have. When I was in local government, he was in the state Senate. When I was in the House, the state House, he was in Congress. So we've had the opportunity to work together for quite a few years on legislative matters when we've been in slightly different levels of government. So to have, some would say that the Senate or House consider themselves different levels of government, yeah. But I'm not going to go there with that. But certainly it absolutely helps to have friends in the Senate, and that helps my ability to get some legislation done. And we're working together on a bill right now that he had championed for our district for hydropower in Collinsville. And he was never able to get it through the Senate, but now that he's in the Senate, we like our chances over there. We've gotten it through the House. It looks like we're in a decent position to get it through the Senate, and that would be tremendous to actually get that through both houses and get that signed and do a good thing for Northwest Connecticut.
How are you getting along with the governor, number one? Number two, we keep hearing that he's a potential national political figure. What do you make of that?
Well, I've known the governor for a long time. Actually, my daughter helped work on his campaign back in 2006.
That's Governor Malloy, yeah.
Governor Malloy. Yeah. Yes, I should specify Governor Malloy.
Well, I should have. Go ahead.
No, I know the governor very well and work with him very closely. And that, again, that helps. And as you and I discussed a couple of sessions back, relationships do matter. And
Indeed. You
don't get things done unless you trust the people you're dealing with. You can't have compromise. And it's hard to trust people you don't know. So that's part of the reason why these personal relationships really do matter.
What do you think his chances are for getting on a national ticket?
Well, he's a very talented guy. He works very, very hard and has been quite innovative here in the state of Connecticut. And I think Americans are looking for folks with energy and can-do spirit, and Dan Malloy has that in spades.
There was a little bit of a dust-up, a tiff between him and Governor Andrew Cuomo. Were you on the sidelines looking at that one?
Well, I have to tell you, over some of that, I was quite frankly very involved in trying to do my own job here and doing what I can do for the folks in Central and Northwest Connecticut.
Yeah, there was an unfortunate quote from one of the Cuomo people who said something like, you go along or you get dead.
Yeah, well, that's not my style.
Yeah. I have to say to Congresswoman Elizabeth Esty, Democrat of Connecticut's 5th District, this has been a great joy. You really make so much sense. I could listen to you all day long. And thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much, Alan. Look forward to doing this again.
Okay, great.